Yes, good evening. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And it's quite the right time to thank Helmut and Dwight with Home Run Program. It's now the time for Business and Economic Segment. It's a time that we are discussing about business. We are discussing about trade affairs. We are also informing you particularly on what is happening around. What is happening around the continent, what is happening in the world, and also what we have on the table today. So it's quite very important to understand that, you know, the Villager newspaper is out, and make sure that you read through, because if you do not have access to economic data, if you don't have access to critical information of development, issues of cybersecurity, then you are going to miss out, because in this current world, when you are sleeping, when you miss out on critical issues, by the time you wake up, people are already 25 miles away from where you are, and it's going to be very difficult for you to catch up. Yeah, some of you, you are on your way home, and some of you, you are working extra time, and some of you, you are just chilling outside and also trying to reflect on how the day was. But the fact that you listen to Eagle FM Namibia, you made the right choice. Because we are together until the hour of 1900 hours, particularly with this program of business and economic segment. I think it's quite very important also before we go to what we have on the table today to look at what is happening around the world, what is happening around the world. Very interestingly and unfortunate, you know, when it's coming to the politics of France, things are not moving there. Things are not moving there. It was indicated that the newly appointed Prime Minister of France resigned just 26 days after he was appointed as a new Prime Minister of France. And the month before, Prime Minister also resigned due to inability of the Prime Minister to pass through the budget, and you'll be able to understand that the French Parliament is not able to constitute the majority. That's why there is always a trade-off, and it's becoming a bit inhibiting the progress of formation of France government. What you need to understand is that the Prime Minister was given the responsibility to make sure that he formed government. And appointed ministers just a few hours before the parliament rejected him, and he was forced to resign. And then the question that we're asking yourself is that what is going to happen? What is going to happen? Because France is it's a country which is currently suffering due to its growing debts, particularly debts per GDP of the country. And the previous Prime Minister, Francois, was trying also to make sure that he cut the public expenditure, especially from public service, but that did not go through. And you'll be able also to realize that the newly appointed Prime Minister, that is Recom, who was just appointed 26 days ago, he was also forced to resign. Now it's in the hand of the president. Is he going to appoint another prime minister to form government, or what is going to happen? Because what you need to understand is that the politics of France is a bit complicated, that the prime minister has to be, support or elected by parliament or chosen by parliament. Then at that point has to be confirmed by the president. And you need to understand that when it's coming to the business of government, is mostly the Prime Minister who is involved, and he has power also to appoint ministers in working together with the president. And the president only has executive power, and issues of critical affairs such as foreign policy, the aspect of defense, and also issues of national priorities. But when it's coming to the operation of government, and also lawmaking, and the executive function, particularly internal, you'll be able to realize that that is the power of the Prime Minister. But in this case, It looks like when it comes to France, things are not going well. Things are not going well. And it's quite interesting to see what will happen. Is the president going to be forced to dissolve parliament, or what is going to happen? Because it's quite interesting news also to look at. Yeah,
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Yeah, we are moving forward with business and economic segment with me, David Shombe. And we are looking ahead, looking at the news which is coming from South Africa. It was indicated that the president of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, won against, the case which was against his recognition of the Zulu King, or the King of AmaZulu. That is King Misizulu. And, it's very also interesting to see that at one point the Pretoria High Court stated that the president was not in line with the constitution, line with the constitution, particularly in the appointment of the King of AmaZulu, King of AmaZulu Kingdom, King Misizulu. But going to High Court, or going to Supreme Court rather, it was indicated that Cyril Ramaphosa was in line. And King Misizulu is a rightful king of AmaZulu. But it's quite interesting news to look at, particularly when it comes to South African politics and also the politics of the president of South Africa. If you look at the president Cyril Ramaphosa, he's one of the most interesting politicians who is known to be quiet but very powerful, and how he came to power and also how he is navigating the politics of South Africa. Although there is chaos in South Africa, it's quite very difficult to point out faults, particularly when it's coming to the president. He's always five steps ahead of his opponents, and when it's coming to and compared to other presidents, you'll be able to realize that Cyril Ramaphosa is quite different. He was cut from a different political he have a different political skin, and you'll be able to understand that when it's coming to cases, he's always on top of his game, and this is also one of the victory, particularly when it comes to the law. Let us look at this news, then move forward.
The Supreme Court of Appeal has upheld President Cyril Ramaphosa's decision to recognize Misizulu Gazulethini as AmaZulu King. Ramaphosa and the King had approached the SCA in a bid to overturn the North Gauteng High Court's decision, which found the recognition irregular. President Ramaphosa officially recognized King Misizulu Gazulethini as the Zulu monarch in March 2022. But then the Pretoria High Court ruled in favor of other members of the Zulu royal family who opposed Misizulu becoming king. Today, the court ruled that Ramaphosa had indeed followed procedure in the recognition process. Royal Zulu historian.
Yeah, that is what's happening in South Africa. You'll be able to realize that in an African tradition, particularly when the kingdom is very powerful, in appointment of the king, they are always contested. They are always contested, but at the end of the day, it's the chosen one who win. Because if you look deep in the history of Zulu, you'll be able also to understand that even the for those of you who watch Shaka Ilembe, you'll be able to understand that even for Shaka to become the king of the Zulu kingdom, there was fight, because they are always contested, which are put forward. The politics has always been there, and at the end of the day, those who are chosen, they become or they emerge as king, Because if you find there's always contestation, particularly when the kingdom or that traditional jurisdiction, it's very powerful. But it's quite very interesting to see, because when you look at the history of the monarch of or the king of Zulu nation, we'll be able to understand that Mrs. Zulu is one of the young kings, and going back to his parents, he's the son of King Godwill Zulatini, that is one of the longest serving also kings in the Zulu royal family. And you'll be able to understand that becoming a king of Zulu is not just an easy thing, but it's a very powerful position to have, because Zulus have influence and they have numbers, and they are very influential, particularly when it comes to the politics of South Africa. That's why when you become a king of Zulu, it's quite a very prestigious, powerful, and influential position in not only in terms of traditional leadership, but also in terms of South African politics. Because if you look at the population of KZN, then you look at politicians from KZN, business people from KwaZulu-Natal, and the majority, in most cases, those who win political elections, in most cases, it's KwaZulu-Natal and also the province of Mpumalanga. Those are some of the key provinces, particularly when it's coming to the influence of South African politics, and also looking at that case. And yeah, on that case, today we are going to look at the upcoming elections, particularly the local and also regional authority elections. We are going to look at that case, and we are going to ask questions to say, what is the relationship between those who are going to be elected and also those who are elected? And also, what is the relationship between political contenders and their campaigning programs? And also to look at what are some of the powers, strength, and also the influence that these leaders have. And also to come up with understanding to say, have we put these political leaders on the scale, and what are political parties doing to make sure that they evaluate the impact of those political leaders, and also candidates who are fielded, to make sure that they move in line or they lead as expected, and they change the lives of the people on the ground. Because it's very interesting also to see, and it's not a matter of not really to say it's quite ignorance, but citizens, they forget so fast. And it's also very quite important to look at what is that have been done since the last elections, particularly when it's coming to regional and local authority elections. Have citizens came, have political parties came and ask their candidates to say, I fielded you in this local authority in 2020, and this were our political game plan. This is what we said we were going to achieve. Can you please give us a report on why you did not achieve what that we deployed you to do? What were some of the challenges, and what can we learn from them? And we're asking questions to say, whichever political party in Namibia, whether you deployed your candidates for local authority elections, whether you deployed your candidates for regional authority elections. And what is very interesting, also some of these politicians are coming back again to run for another term, particularly regarding regional and local authority politics. But the question that we are asking, have Namibian political parties sit down and say, let us take this litmus paper, let us take the political litmus paper and analyze to say, David, we send you to a local authority of any village council or any municipality. And this is what you were saying in 2020 before you were elected. This is what we have promised the people. Now come and sit with me then give us this report and indicate to us to say, this is what you have done. Have you achieved 20%? Have you achieved 50%? Have you successfully achieved 100% of our campaign or our political manifesto? If not, how should you be held accountable? How should we be held accountable? And also to for citizens also, when politicians are coming to us to campaign, especially those who are coming for the second term, let's go to them and ask to say, Councillor, can you kindly give us a report of what you have done? I know in some cases you cannot work alone. You need support. You need consensus, particularly in a situation where you have to form a composition of political leadership of a local authority, a town council in a municipality or a village council. But if Namibian citizens also took responsibilities, because one thing that we need to put in mind is that when we analyze issues, when we try to look at where the problem is, what is that we need to do, and what is that we need to do better so that we can move forward. One of the things that we need to look at is the aspect of evaluating our progress. Because, as I indicated, it's quite interesting also to be in a bus and very happy about the journey, but you don't know where the journey is going. You don't know when the bus is going to stop. You don't know if this bus is going to a right direction or is the wrong direction, or is going into a cave. But it's also quite important to ask and say, no, since 2020, candidates were deployed to different, political battlegrounds. Either is regional councillors, either is constituency. It's local authority councillors, those who are at municipalities, and we have seen quite very interesting, development, especially when it comes to the management of local authorities. We have seen councillors being fired here and there from various political parties. Some are resigning. We have also seen some end up locked up, but it's a matter of accountability from both sides. Citizens coming to political leaders and also ask them to say, man, when we voted you as our constituency councillor, you were promising us these things. But can you please give us a report to say, these are things which I have done in this constituency. Now, kindly elect me for the second term. Because before a leader come to you, there must be an issue of accountability. Because if it's like that, it's also us citizens who are delaying the implementation of national developmental priorities. Has the councillor who is going to be elected understood national priorities? Has the councillor understood the population of people that he or she is leading? Is the councillor understanding the needs of the people on that ground? Have the councillor tried to assist and also to go beyond what is expected from him? Or there is always a blame from another person? Or there's always a blame from another person, because in most cases the blame must go to somebody. What was the relationship of that politician with the people in the past 5 years? Because what we do in Namibia, and I think this should also be part of civic education, to say it's not only about you teaching me how to vote. You must teach me the necessity of voting, and you also must teach me how to interact with my leaders, and also how to assess the progress of leaders. Because when you speak about accountability, when you speak about the state is, government is me and you, for example, the simple definition that we are always giving. What is very interesting is that next month, when we are going to go to elections, citizens, you must be able to understand that now you are the, you have power to elect and also power to discipline or to demote. But what I'm saying is that politicians, good leaders with intentions, must be able to come and speak with the people that they are going to lead. Because it's not right to come and tell me or to come and tell the citizen who are so desperate to say, I'm going to build schools here, I'm going to empower the youth, I'm going to do investment in young people. But after 5 years, you come back again and say, I'm going to do what you said you were going to do that you did not do. And it's also very, very important, particularly when you failed. You come and acknowledge that, okay, I think I did not achieve my plans. I can do better next time. However, this time I'm going to do like this. But these were the challenges. Not always challenges of political sabotage, because because every Namibian, every leader who's going to be deployed from any political parties, we are all Namibians. But if you are not thinking beyond the politics of political parties, and if you are not thinking about the building Namibian nation, I don't think we are ready to reach the intention of national goals. Because remember, whichever political parties the candidate is coming from, at the end of the day, this person become part of government within that constituency, within that local authority, and he become a responsible citizen who have to serve all the people, either those who elected him or those who did not elect him. That is why it's quite very important to come to that aspect and ask those who are going to be deployed, and also to look at capability and also assess the ability of those who are going to lead, and also if they understood where the country is standing, and if they need assistance, what assistance are they going to need? Because the mistake that we do in most cases is not admitting that we do not know everything, not admitting that any leader need advisors, not admitting that when you have a certain position of power, you can also be humble enough to say, but there's a certain community leader in this location, in this village, who can advise me. Because in most cases, particularly in the developing countries, we associate power with autonomy of wisdom and knowledge. But that is not the case. The case was supposed to be, you have power to lead. Community who have technical knowledge, they can advise. And also maybe the aspect of asking to say, in terms of things that Namibians, even constituency councillors themselves, they have been complaining about, to say, the act is not allowing us to get our own budget. The act is allowing us, the act of local authority is not allowing us to have our own budget, but we still have to go to the region and fight for those portions, which make it very difficult, because in most cases you have very good projects that you want to implement, but you're not be able to implement them because they are priority areas within those who are debating with you at that regional level. And also the aspect of asking questions to say, what was the relationships between political leaders and also the technocrats, particularly those who were in administration? Was there a very good relationship? What was the problem? Because when we are holding councillors accountable, we should not just hold councillors accountable alone, because a councillor cannot operate alone without a team of administrators who are professional within those respective position, either at the constituency level or those who are at the regional level, because that was supposed or to be the case. And also, looking at the Namibian context, you may be wondering and asking yourself to say, Where are we going? Particularly looking at local authorities, because you'll be able to understand that with the 8th administration, with the appointment of Tate Sankwasa as the Minister of Urban and Rural Development, you'll be able to see that there have been a lot of news, particularly when it comes to those who are in charge of leading local authorities. Those who are in charge of leading local authorities to the point of dissolutions of, the local authority councillors or the leadership of local authority in Zambezi. And to say, are we expecting, or what lesson are we learning moving forward? What lesson are we learning moving forward? What is the relationship between the councillors themselves? Either it's regional or local authority with the central government. What was the relationship? Is the aspect of party politics go beyond interest of the citizens or interest of the residents, particularly those who are in towns? And when we also need to look at what is the aspect of developmental sabotage, because there have been some views, particularly from various political parties, to say, I think you guys are not giving us enough so that we can shine because we are leading here. But who is suffering in that aspect? Who is suffering in that aspect? And what is the future of our city? Because it was very interesting, particularly in 2020, post-2020 local and regional authority elections, where for the first time, City of Windhoek had the coalition government at the municipality level. And if I can write a history book, it could be maybe of 100 pages to see of the events which have happened there. But it also taught us good lesson to say, in some cases, you must learn to work with other people, because you come to the point where you realize to say, the only way to move forward is when everybody's working together. Because when it comes to development, especially at the township level, citizens must be prioritized. And not necessarily to go directly to City of Windhoek, you'll be able also to see that with a population of 500,000, what is the future post, November elections? And also, how is the relationship with the master, which is in this case, or the high authority, particularly the Minister of Urban and Rural Development? What is the relationship in that case? Because relationship matters. And also, how is the chain of communication? How is the chain of communication in that aspect? And at the end of the day, what is the intention of me as an ordinary citizen electing somebody to lead me and also to answer to my needs? And maybe also for citizens also to ask themselves to say, what are those things that you wanted in 2010 that you elected somebody who said is going to represent you? At what percentage, if you are rating, of that of what you wanted, you got it? At what percentage you have got them from that of who you said, or who said was going to solve your problems? And also, where can we draw a line between political campaign? Because we understand when you are campaigning, they say, a program, a plan that you have that you want to do. But there's also an element of exaggeration that is inevitable because that is politics. But to what extent are the basic needs of the people of Namibia met? That is a question that we need to ask ourselves. And just before we go to November elections, I want you to take time and go to any councillor, either within the municipality, within that local authority, and ask him or ask her to say, ma'am, you said something in 2020. We were dancing with you. You promised us this. We want our thing that you said you were going to give us. What did you do? If you cannot be able to tell us, at least what were the challenges and what is coming new? Because there are always new things. In after every year, there are always new things. What are the new priorities? Because that is the only way that we are going to hold accountable those who are leading us, and also to be engaged. Because in most cases, you find citizens who abandon politics. Little do they know that although politics have different names to say, it can be the death game to those who find themselves outside the politics, but it's a mechanism or it's a tool that is being used to make sure that people democratically elect those who perceive to be the best among ourselves so that they can lead us. Because at the end of the day, a leader must be there. But a leader who cannot come back and report to the people is not a good leader. Because you must tell us where you are driving us into. You must tell us where the bus is going, because it's very interesting also to see, am I in the right bus or in the wrong bus? Is it coming where I came from? Is it making a U-turn? Or maybe we are just in the bus, but there are no even wheels. At what speed is the political bus moving into? So yeah, you can still communicate with us at 083-288-401-083, 288-401. And also, the other aspect that we need to look at is that when you look at the basic human needs, it's a basic needs of everybody to say, you know, when you are very young, like me, although in a few years I will graduate to be an adult in terms of Namibian classification, if you are very young, you must be able to understand that everybody has ambition of, going to school, have a better family one day, having, kids, not just kids, but kids who are living healthy, who are safe, kids who can go to school without disappearing, without a trace, kids who are protected by, authority, kids who are living in a good environment, and also kids who, cannot just be lost every time from school, the kid is lost, and also somebody who has proper housing. Everybody wants proper housing. Everybody wants a beautiful wife with a mind, and also a bright future. Those are the basic needs. And also a bright future. But for you to achieve those things, you can't do them alone. You need those who are making sure that when it's coming to power, when it's coming to authority, they are in charge of providing that for you. In exchange of your political support, to say, this councillor, this leader, this mayor prioritize the residents. These residents are living in a good environment. These residents have proper, housing. These residents have, clean water, sewage, and a secured future. Secured future. And I want to make it very clear, especially those who are going to campaign within Okahanja local authority. Safety must be a priority number one. Safety must be a priority number one. Because when you are a leader, it cannot be correct that a child or children, they're just getting killed and nobody got arrested. What is that? And ask those councillors who are going to, I know they are not police officers, but ask them what the difference are they going to make, particularly when it's coming to the safety of children. It's not only in Okahanja, it's also in Venduk and wherever. Because we must look at the new priorities. And we must also be able to look at the aspect of new developments. What is the understanding of that fielded candidate when it's coming to the new development? Does that candidate understand the key priorities of the government? Anyway, at the end of the day, government, which is in charge, you have to make sure that you follow that direction. Does this councillor understand the aspect of cybersecurity? What is the view of these councillors in terms of the current education system? What is the content and understanding of this councillor in terms of skill upliftment. How is the relationship of this counselor with business people within that community? And how that relationship have been beforehand? Have we come to that point and we understand that it will be more easier? The aspect of having a basic understandable life will be more easier. The aspect of children going to school without fearing anything will be more easier because that counselor will be able to coordinate and understand how to work with the fellow counselors, how to work with authorities, and also how to work with community leaders. Because if we are not there, or a leader is only being seen before a few days before election, then they disappear, then we are not going to get the Namibia that you want. So yeah. You can engage us at 083-288-401. We have 15 minutes, and let us look at the commercial break. For those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is business and economic segment with David Shombe. Today we are looking at the relationship between political contenders, particularly regional and local authority councillors. And we are looking at the upcoming regional and local authority elections, which is coming in November. And also, how can citizens hold those who are going to lead them accountable? And also, how should we build a very good relationship between the governor and the governed? And also, what is the context and understanding of those who are going to lead us, particularly in terms of current affairs? And also to look at pertaining issues, such as issues of safety, issues of, crimes, issues of mental health. What is the understanding of those who are going to lead us in the next 5 years, particularly at local and regional authority, level? Because in political science, there is an aspect of the small men and the big men of politics. Because the small man of politics is always somebody who is closer to the people. But in this case, this is somebody who, when he is doing very well, can also be able to build a very good connection with the big man of politics. In that case, the central authority. And when you have that relationship in that aspect, it's easier. It's easier also to get resources. It's easier also to keep the standard or uplift the standard of living of those who you are leading. Because remember, in most cases, people do not see that whatever we do is history being written. I can be a lucky guy. I become a counselor by accident, for example. Then I promise people heaven and earth. Then I achieve 2%. Then I come back for the second time. I promise people heaven and earth. Then it's end of my term. Then I go home. But remember that after 40 years, history is still going to be written to say who was leading that constituency, at what level the development within that constituency, how many children died of hunger in that constituency. And you may think we are escaping, or we may think we are escaping from things that we are doing. But there is always somebody who is watching. And you don't want that history to be written in a negative aspect. Because after we are out of this world, after we are no more here, there is something that is called a legacy. What legacy are we going to leave? Yes, I'll be very happy to say, no, my uncle was a counselor here at this year to this year, or my auntie was here, or my father, or my mother was here. But the question is that, what is that he did differently? And what is that this person is going to be remembered for? And also the other way around. What did the citizens of that constituency, citizens of that city, citizens of or residents of that city, or residents of that town, what did they do to make sure that they hold those who were leading them accountable? Because history is not only subjective in its nature, unless the writer decided to pick few facts over others, because everybody is part of history. And it's only okay. Let's take the caller. Yes, hello.
Mr. Shombe, good evening.
Evening, sir. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Mm.
Yes, I think the challenge.
Yeah.
Or maybe the significant fear.
Yeah.
The fear of the unknown.
What do you mean, the fear of the unknown?
You see, for you to approach a leader.
Yeah.
Who is voted to power.
Yeah.
And tell him or her that yes, your mandate was so and so.
No, you are asking him when you are, especially those who are running for
this.
No. Those who
have performed and fulfill this function.
No, you know what I'm talking about, ne? Is particularly those who are running for the second term, and also those who are campaigning to say, at the end of the day, you have to give a report. To say, what track record do you have to say you were a constituency councillor this time to this time? What did you do? What were some of the challenges? Because remember, citizens, we forget very easily. In 2020, somebody promised people something, but did that achieve even 80% or 50% of that? And it's just to have a conversation to say, okay, Uncle Bwana, you are running for the second time. Last time you promised me tap of oil and all these things, but have you even brought 1 liter of that to what you said you were going to bring me? What were some of the challenges? Let's have a discussion before I give you my vote again. And even political parties, every political parties must do this monitoring and evaluation to say, yes, we fielded you, but what did you do? You put our party down, or did you make us proud? Because that is the only way that we are going to get forward.
Yes, but that's why I'm saying that there is that fear. The fear for you to demand a report from such a leader.
Yeah.
You feel as if you are trying to be stubborn.
Yeah.
Or you are trying to be anti-duty or anti-swapo. You understand? Because as long as the people have not that courage.
Yeah.
Not that courage, they put in a negative courage for you to demand for a leader to give you an accountable report.
But, yeah.
So, you know, the masses.
Yeah.
Because even though there is what we call a recall kind of a clause.
Yeah.
So that is now for you to exercise and say, okay, because of this and that.
Yeah.
You fail to perform this thing because you are actually assessing the performance of the leader.
Indeed.
And therefore, you also have the right to take that particular leader to account. For example, so we used to get reports from the region, from the constituency and all these other things.
Mm.
But if you know that this is what the person was talking about last year or some years back, when they come today, the person is still struggling to fulfill that mandate.
Yeah.
You can easily tell the person and say, no, my friend, shape up. Shut up. If you don't shut up, put your house in order before anything else. So I think there's that fear.
Yeah.
Or maybe I cannot say it's a way of respecting.
No.
But there's that fear that is unknown, that you cannot, some leaders become so untouchable.
Yeah.
And even when they are there, the masters who may be very courageous to confront them, not positively.
Yeah.
So they also have that kind of fear.
Yeah.
So that the attachment, you know, that approachable kind of a way, is not there.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's true, there are also some kind of ignorance in the process.
Yeah.
Some people they are not aware that, yes, these leaders, we can take them to account, not necessarily for positive or, negative confrontation, but just to make sure that we get a report.
Yeah.
How many gardening projects have you initiated here?
Mm-hmm.
But of course, they can be initiated by the masters themselves.
Yeah.
But the people who are to implement the project, have you facilitated that program?
Yeah.
For them to access funding, for them to access some equipment, or even some seeds, fertilizers, and things like that.
Yeah.
So the moment people don't do that, then we have a problem. But for me, my conclusion is that it's like there's that kind of a fear.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? People are not free.
Yes.
Or they just feel intimidated, some kind of timidity.
Yeah.
Just to approach somebody. You understand?
Okay, thank you.
That fear is very significant and also hindering people to do something.
Okay, thank you for your input.
Welcome, sir.
All right.
Yeah, Uncle Bona is saying apparently there is fear. There is fear of approaching a person. But it's not about disrespecting a person. It's just asking a question to say. Because you find some leaders, they did so much, but they are not the kind of talking people. If you ask the person to say, tell me 5 things that you have done in the past 5 years so that I can re-elect you, for example. The person can list them. Then you'll be able to understand to say, I think I misunderstood you. Then you are a right person. Or because in most cases you find those who are doing something, they are not being recognized. But you can also ask to say, what were some of the challenges? Because for me not to misunderstood you. Because if we want to develop as a country, if we really want to go forward, we must go beyond politics of chanting and dancing. Because this thing, you find people are very happy. There is chanting and dancing and all these things. But when it's coming to direction, there is little to nothing. Then with the respect and also the aspect of communicating, to say some counselors, they have very good intentions, but they do not have support. Some counselors, they are doing a great job, but they are not being understood. Some are stuck, but they do not ask for advice. But who is suffering? Let us bring that relationship, because when you look at other countries developed, even political parties themselves, they call them to order to say, okay, we fielded you, but we are just there boxing people in the local authority, in the regional council meetings. Or you are just there doing something that is not required. Where can we assist you? Or what was the problem? Because if you look at, like we reference African Peer Review Mechanism report on why there is a gap in policy planning and implementation, the other thing is a weakness of monitoring and evaluation and assessment of the progress and tracking records of how projects are going forward. And the aspect of monitoring and evaluation is the aspect of coming to the table and see, this is where we started with the constituency. This is where we started with the local authority. This was our plan. This was our budget. This is what we have achieved. These were the challenges. These are the tables. These are the beneficiaries. And this is what I'm going to do next. If we can only do that, it will not be very difficult. It will even make it easier for central government to achieve what it wants for the people. Because you are already on the ground. You are already doing your work. You are already, having that resources that you have. And you have capacity and the mandate to mobilize resources. And those are things that we need to look at, because at the end of the day, we'll continue to be talking, but the world is laughing at us. The world is laughing at us. Because those guys are just Namibians. That's how they do it in Namibia. But we need to go beyond that. And those who like complaining, it's time now to engage leaders and tell them what you need. Let us just not be on Facebook. Go to those political rallies and talk to those leaders. Talk to those candidates to say, this is what we have. This is what you need to look at. The other time you were looking at it this way, but at least now look at it this way. And don't just go to politics when you are angry or to revenge. Go to politics with good intentions. To say, no, there's a certain candidate here. This is what he's talking about. Maybe we can talk about this thing. Or this is the counselor, he was here last year. This is what he did. But let us advise him, or let us see where he needs assistance, and let us talk to him or her, what she's going or he's going to do on you. Because with that, whichever political party you are, whichever political party you are supporting with an intention of developing Namibia, I think we are not going to get it wrong. With a very good understanding and also asking people questions. Don't disrespect them, then don't go and fight them. Because at the end of the day, those are your political leaders, and without respect, you will not go anywhere. You must just go and engage them respectfully. And you'll be surprised on the impact of that. So yeah, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Uncle Fly with Omtumwa. And from me, David Shombe, have a good evening. And see you tomorrow, same time, same place. And bye-bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Iwanasa Namibia, kamberera omwakarunga koe pamwe na imba. Inokara uri kwanima yesiga. Endera pamwe nethimbo muyuni wa technology. Imonena eimbiro joe mwene kongodhi yoye yopeke pamwe na imba. Imba oteta pamwe oshigwana no kwanja gakaneka onjimbo moshigwana ashihe sha Namibia. Moka epaka imba otamu adhika ehwata jonjimbo dhoongereka dhayooloka. Ngaashi ehangano ja Elsin, omaimburiro joshiherero, simaneka karunga ja katolika karoma.